There's a whole lot of good things happening on the Podcast One Forbes network. Forbes U30 is a show about young innovators, disruptors, and entrepreneurs like the minimalists Joshua and Ryan, electropop artists like Lights, CBS Search Party star Charles Rogers, the women of YouTube's Clever TV,
plus many more.
And the Forbes interview is a deep dive into the minds of the folks who could be on the cover of the magazine, like Tinder founder Sean Rad, hero pilot Captain Sully Sullenberg, Moneyball author Michael Lewis, pop star Jason Derulo,
and the list goes on and on.
Subscribe or listen to Forbes U30 and the Forbes interview now on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We do appreciate you and what you do for us. That's Dr. Spaz filling in for Dr. Drew. The Weekly Infusion, that's his podcast with Dr. Drew. Subscribe on iTunes.
Fascinating stuff.
Fascinating stuff. Bruce is, he's the real deal, everybody. And again, in the Urban Dictionary.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. Prominently highlighted, and rightfully so, in the Urban Dictionary. And you know what? They can never take that away from you.
Good lenses, bad frames, huh?
I will not be recognized for my genius in my lifetime either, Bruce, so do not worry about it. But good lenses, bad frames is the most apt description of somebody who's actually good, just doesn't look good at their job.
How do you think ER patients would feel if they got, they're your doctor, he's good lenses, bad frames. I don't want you introducing me.
Hey, could be, you could be under the behymen. That would be a real problem with your career.
I would say it's emblematic of your comedic genius. So you're able to encapsulate a description of someone that's concise, not always accurate, but.
Well, the thing about it is there's never any effort put into it. It's simply there. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to go home, I'm going to get my steno pad, and I'm going to try to come up with something that works for Dr. Spaz. You just sort of have to be in the moment. And when people say, when you come up with your metaphors, how do you do that? And the answer is you don't try. It has to hit you.
Yeah. No, I know. I've tried and I get a little spastic.
It's not really something you can try to do. You have to just sort of let it move you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Phone calls are up there. There's one. We'll get to this guy. Alan, line 3. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Ace Man.
How you doing, man?
And Dr. Bruce.
Good
day.
Yeah,
So my question is, or two things. I have a real quick rich man, poor man I'd like to get your thoughts on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gets killed by a piece of machinery that is worth more than $1 million.
Mm. All right. So you're driving a Ferrari GTO or Lusso on one of those... you know, they're doing the Italian hill climb, and you get cleaned out in your Lusso or your GTO or your Barchetta or whatever it is in a vintage race or whatever, versus driving the asphalt spreader for the city of Inglewood, and you get caught. You get caught putting the black and blacktop for over 40 years. Single it. City of Inglewood. And you get caught under your asphalt spreader.
Right, right. Or it's a big mining vehicle or something that crushes
you. Yeah, that's...
You weren't paying attention.
That's solid. I like that. And Gary, capture it somehow. But it's not exactly poor man. Like driving the heavy equipment or working the heavy equipment, it's middle, you know, that guy's bringing down 60K a year. It's not that poor man type thing, but it's solid. Sure. I like being killed by equipment, which is worth much more than you.
Yeah. Okay. So then my question is, I have a coworker who's, it's a woman. She's like 38 years old and is unmarried and childless. And she, when somebody else mentioned that sent around pictures in an email of a brand new baby, everybody got excited. From her, she said, you know, basically, oh, cool. It was like a 4 or 5 out of 10 for her. But then when the Cincinnati Zoo put out new footage of a baby hippo, it was like a 15 out of 10. Like, you'd never heard so much baby talk out of this 38-year-old chick. And I'm wondering... I'm just wondering what's the motivation there. Is that she's shy about the fact that she doesn't have children and doesn't want to expend that energy in an obvious way on a human baby?
Chicks are wired weirdly, and guys are wired sort of like robots, and then there's guys that are sort of wired like chicks, which makes them like chicks, which is what we're reconfiguring the wiring now. Mm-hmm. If you have a really straight wiring, I don't mean heterosexual, but I just mean like a super pragmatic straight wiring. Like, I have a pragmatic straight wiring. And so if you say to me, and I'll see it with Gina Grad all the time. It's not like there's something wrong with Gina Grad or there's something wrong with Lynette or anyone else. They're wired like women. It's a good thing. It's why you want them raising the kids. They have a wiring, which is different than your wiring. But if Gina Grad is sitting here and you go, oh, man, there was a small aircraft that died and five people perished, including a father and teenage son. Oh, and their dog, Rusty. She'll go, oh, like upon the dog perishing. You won't hear anything about the five souls.
You're treading on thin ice here.
I'm treading on true ice here, puss. That's how chicks are wired. That's how Gina Grad would react. Lynette's got actually less of that probably than most, but that's just how chicks are wired for the most part. And super soft dudes. When chicks are wired like chicks, that's a good thing. When guys are wired like chicks, it's a bad thing. But that's a chick wiring thing. A lot of it is, it's less pragmatic and more, oh, I just heard about a dog dying. But they do have a gear for putting dogs in front of human beings in the sadness department, which is absolutely bizarre to me. And I, you know what I think a lot of it is?
What?
Whether it's good animal or bad animal, like dogs dying or dogs, puppies being born or whatever. I figured this out in real time. Dogs, kids,
good animal.
Chicks. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Chicks look at. Chicks and dudes wired like chicks look at human beings as, once you get outside of your own family, you're just into some other species somewhere, or not even another species, but it's like, hey, a truck went on a rampage in South Africa and killed tribe members or something. You're just like, yeah, all right. Hey, a ferry turned over in the Philippines and 81 people drowned. It's like, all right. you have nothing for that because you have no connection at all. When it comes to puppies or hippopotamus or Cecil the Lion, we all own those. Like, women and dumb dudes think that they own, like, they're somehow world citizens when it comes to puppies and animals and stuff like that. So they do make a big deal out of Cecil the Lion because that's their lion, even though it has nothing to do with them. And they have much more in common with the Filipino who drowned when the ferry capsized because it was over capacity, but they don't, doesn't hit them.
Returning to, in our culture, we anthropomorphize, as from little kids on, we make animals like Disney. We think these things are ideal creatures that have personalities and they have human traits and they're lovable and perfect.
Well, that would be good, your theory, except for what I'm saying is the creatures have passed people.
Right, right.
So you're saying you've turned the creatures into people. I'd rather be turned into a puppy. Because that way I'd get when the asphalt spreader runs over me, I'm on the poor man's side. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't explain what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is they're much more caught up in Cecil the Lion than they are in whatever, the 82 Christians that were blown up by the ISIS bomber wearing the vest. They don't give a rat's ass. Zero for that.
Now, what about people that like other countries and hate our own country? Can we get into any kind of...
If you'd like to, I know exactly what that is.
Or like Teddy Roosevelt said? What? Teddy Roosevelt said it's like men that like other women as much as they like their wives, or men that like other countries as much as their own.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same thing?
I love Teddy Roosevelt.
I like him too, but that is... Those are people, chicks and dudes, that are pissed at their dad.
Ah.
They're always angry at dad. And dad becomes the man. As a matter of fact, daddy is the man. Daddy starts as the man. And then at a certain point, the country becomes the, you know, Ronald Reagan becomes the man. And now you got to wage war against Ronald Reagan. Well, you have to push up against Ronald Reagan, even though whatever you're saying is fucking retarded. Like, you know, when Ronald Reagan was butting heads with the Soviet Union, I didn't know anything about world politics, but I knew enough to know we're better than the Soviets are. What are you taking their side for? You're not taking their side because you agree with what Brezhnev agrees with, or Yeltsin, or whoever the Russian leader du jour is. You're agreeing with them because you hate your dad, who's taken on the form of Ronald Reagan. So that's what you're pushing up against. There's you have no love of communism or the Soviet Union or their regime or all the horrible atrocities they've done to their people, or God forbid, all the stuff. They're incredible hypocrites because, you know, all the marches on women's rights and gays' rights and all that kind of stuff. These people trample over women's rights and gays' rights and what have you. So why are you taking their side? Simple. Reagan's your dad. And you hate your dad.
So I'm intrigued by the Safe Spaces movie you're doing. So are you're going to campuses and you're going to be, would you make statements like that? Because I think that would be very provocative. And I think it is a provocative idea.
Thank you. I get to make whatever statements I want.
But is that what you guys are going to, I saw you guys on Tucker Carlson. That was very interesting that he was, I think he considers that a sort of, this is the right time for that type of a project, I think.
I would say one of his causes du jour, I mean, he has a number of things that, you know, look, not everyone can be concerned about everything all the time, and we're the same. But how we're turning young people into super soft victims is something I'm very interested in. And I think Dennis Prager's very interested in it, and Tucker Carlson's interested in it as well. The reason I don't want to turn young people or any people, whatever your nationality is, into a victim is because it destroys the person.
Right.
You become a victim. It's an insane instinct to want somebody to feel like they're a victim. As a parent, the last thing I would want for either one of my kids is to feel like a victim. I'd rather them, you know, we spend a lot of time going, hey, you got to feel good. Like, you got to feel smart. Like, you got to realize there's only one of you and nobody else before, you know, this planet came that was you and no one else after you. And every day, you know what? Today is the next day to the rest of your life. And all that. I'd rather them feel stupid than feel victimized. I'd rather them feel dumb or inadequate or just about any feeling under the rainbow other than a victim.
Right.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And the feeling like a victim would be more hobbling to them than feeling ugly. I'd rather them feel ugly, dumb, stupid, and undeserving than feel like a victim as a parent.
Don't you also think it's better for kids to lose once in a while and there be a winner and them learning to accept?
I agree. Be nice if Sonny won a basketball game on rare occasion. Like, he's not so comfortable with losing. He's not even sure if he needs to make the trip. He knows this is a foregone conclusion. Of course people should lose.
He cheated last time we were playing horse.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, well, so maybe got a victory. Over the 6-foot red-haired guy. I'll tell you what a victory is. Life Lock. Ah. Yeah, man. You get those... ever get those scary flashing pop-up virus alerts? It's probably a tech support scammer trying to get you to call them in, toll-free number, and trick you into giving them a remote access to your computer. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. Cheater Sonny. Cheater Sonny has it.
I have LifeLock, but I did not get the 10% Adam discount.
Oh, look at you. Daddy Warbucks over here. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect your info, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, their U.S.-based agents will work to fix it. They are LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Membership starts at just $9.99 a month. What's going on, Bruce?
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM, that's ADAM, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Yeah, if you guys want to go to NoSafeSpaces.com, watch some good videos of me and Dennis Prager up on stage, you can check those out. He's got a lot of wisdom, that man.
Yes, yes. I'd like to. I think maybe if I joined your team as a presenter, and I could share some of my wisdom.
Just whisper it to Dennis. All right, let's talk to Eric, 29 Riverside. Eric,
hey, what's up, Adam?
What's going on?
Hey,
man. Yeah. I got a problem. I fixed up my kitchen, right, mm-hmm. and then a guy charged me $2,300 to do my kitchen, and this guy has been took him 2 months and a half. Do my kitchen, and now I paid him already $1,800. Now he's not going to come back to finish the job because he wants the money first. Mm-hmm. And I told him I'm not going to pay you until the job's done. So he never came back. He left my door hinges, and he didn't install my doors. He just left.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 weeks now. So I took him to court. Mm-hmm. I mean, I filed the paperwork for small claims, mm-hmm. and I just want to know, what's if I win, I'm suing him for all the money back. So, what?
Yeah, for the $1,800.
Is he licensed?
No.
He said he was. But he said he don't want to put his license on the job because I would have to pay property taxes and he would have to pay taxes also. So, I checked and it doesn't. I called the board. They said they have no name. There's nothing under.
He's not licensed because no one's redoing a kitchen for $2,300 who has a license. What was the scope and scale of his work?
His work is usually doing cabinets, but this guy was tearing down my walls. He did the drywall wrong, so I had to pay a real contractor, drywall, to fix my drywall. He messed up my window. When he framed my window, it was cricket. It wasn't right. And we put my granite in. Put my granite in, and it's lopsided. It's everything's all messed up.
Yeah,
he messed all my whole kitchen up, and I've been living without a house. Well, I've been living my mother-in-law's house for 2 months. So I got two kids. So
yeah. Hey, Eric. All right, let me give you some sagely advice.
Okay.
The $1,800, you can sue the guy. You can get it back. Also, when stuff is like too cheap to be true, it is. In the contracting world, my God. I mean, my God. Look, you can go talk to Mark Garagus and he could do you a favor and give you some good lawyer advice for free or something like that. But it's sort of in the air. Mm-hmm. The thing about contracting is it's tangible. It involves demo and rough electrical and rough plumbing and finish electrical and finish plumbing and granite countertops and cabinets and like it's man hours. Like you can't talk your way out. You know, when you go, we're going to do the floor, we're going to do the countertops, we're taking all the hardware off, we're going to spray all the door fronts and drawers and you can't fit that into $2,300.
Yeah.
You could be friends with Elton John, and Elton John could come play a barbecue at your house for free, and then Elton John could charge a corporate rate of $500,000, but he could still go play your barbecue for free. That's not impossible. Doing a kitchen for $2,300 is impossible because there's no way to do that and make money, a profit, at all, and give you any kind of experience that would resemble something that was satisfying.
Could Eric get in trouble because he did it without registering it or whatever? In other words, I don't.
It's Riverside.
Hey, Adam, I was on your show on the Build This Stuff Live. So you see my kitchen.
Oh, that was you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Eric, here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I would say sue the guy and go ahead and see if you can get your $1,800 back. And then I would say many of these things can be solved with money. You got to make money. The problem is when you have $2,300 in a dilapidated kitchen, then you're just going to have $2,300 in a dilapidated kitchen.
Yeah, what about the wife? Is she ready to get rid of you?
Oh, man, she's more pissed off at him. She's been calling him.
Good.
Been calling him, but you know, he don't answer his phone no more. So,
but the
and
way,
we know, we know where he lives at. So,
oh boy. Yeah. But Eric, the only way you can get out of this part of life is to literally make more money. You just have to make more money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's too painful. Like whatever your work is, what is your work?
Yeah. I work for the school district, for Riverside School District, a stock clerk.
Walk into your manager's office tomorrow and demand a salary of $550,000 a year and tell him, unless you don't do that, I will pull out my retractable chain with all the keys on it and slap it on your desk, like when a cop leaves the force and he slaps his badge on the desk.
Don't do that, Eric.
No, I'll get fired, man.
All right, we'll figure out how to make some cash on the weekends, see about getting some training, see if you got... Let me tell you something, man. When you're not making any money, everything's a pain in the ass. A parking ticket is devastating. When you're not making any money. Like everything's a, you know, oh, gas went up 19 cents a gallon. Oh, God damn. You know?
And you're not a trust fund kid. You can remember with the days when that would have been devastating.
No, I had a pretty healthy trust fund left behind for me. I mean, I was sad.
No, when you were... God. Yeah, right.
Trying to think. Look, Max Apata has seen my Social Security statement.
Oh, yeah. I look at it to make me feel better.
The 1980s ones. Huh?
Do you get any poorer than I was?
You can't get poorer unless you lose money in the year. Like, there were some where it was zero. Like...
I had some 0 months in there. Now, you have to take that Social Security, and then you have to match it against my parents' inability to earn money or distribute money.
Or care.
And now it's like, you're really... Yeah, I don't... You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, oh, we slept eight to a bedroom and drank from a well. And, you know, that, I don't have that kind of, like, sharecropper poor. But in terms of modern-day poor... Not third world poor and not turn of the century poor, just modern day poor. I'll have a poor off with anybody. I don't know who was, you can't really be, I mean, you could owe money, I guess. I didn't really, you know, I owed the IRS some money. I guess I owed on like a credit card. So I probably did owe money, but no one had less money than me.
I remember the crappy car you had when I met you.
Really? What was I driving?
I don't know. Was it like a small Toyota of some sort? Or
I had a Toyota that got totaled, and then I got a Honda that had like 150,000 miles on it or something like that. Used to drive the beaterest of pickup trucks. Yeah.
And I think I got a Camaro at that time, and I asked, hey, you want to go for a ride? No. Even at that time, you were a car snob.
I wasn't a car snob. I had somebody ask me, I was just talking to him about you. He got the new Zio, whatever,
ZL1.
Camaro with the 10-speed.
Oh, the 10-speed. Ah.
Would you like to revel in your glory for just a second?
Well, why don't you just recount the story?
Okay. We were standing out on my porch enjoying, let's see, there's a fine selection of beers. It was either Corona.
It was Corona. It was Corona. Yeah, that's Corona. Another good story. Oh, yes.
All right. So we had, but don't worry, this wasn't free Corona. This Corona
you paid for.
Right. So I got another case at the shop. Anyone needs any Corona? But anyway, we're drinking a Corona or a Corona or a Corona. And I said, the comedy is I had two cases of Corona that have been gathering dust because I don't like Corona. And then I said to Lynette, before we throw this party, I was like, do not buy beer.
Right.
I got all the beer over at the other shop. And it's all back there. Just go get it. I got free beer. They
fine
give us
selection.
Free beer, a fine selection of beer. And then that was like on a Tuesday, and then smash cut to Friday. It's like Dylan's come back. Like, I got all the beer. You want me to put it in your car? I'm like, What beer? I just went and bought beer. And I'm like, what'd you get? Corona? Got three cases of Corona. Where'd you get it? I got it at the supermarket. I'm like, why did you buy Corona? I hate Corona. And I got a case of Corona. Like, I don't know. I was told to get Corona. Okay. Anyway, There's always a miscommunication, but my profound instinct would be that the miscommunications go way down when it's your money.
Right.
And you don't have that much. Like, remember my theory about being sick and missing work? As soon as you can't miss work, boom, the sickness goes down. You, when it's your money, you get far fewer parking tickets. If someone else is paying, you get a lot. Like, Lynette gets a lot more parking tickets. I get zero parking tickets because I look at it as my money. And I think she looks at it as my money, too. And thus, she'll get many more tickets than I get. Well, I get zero. So it's an interesting thing. If it is your money, I do believe there's a little part of your brain that goes, oh, wait a minute. I already got a case of that beer. I should go get it. When you now, it is her money, which is the comedic part of it, but it's not looked upon that
but
way.
Don't you think you're haunted by the specter of the ghost of screw-ups? With not people, screw-up situations. Because when I heard that, I was like, you're the last person. You know, not that you're a celebrity to me or anything like that, but you're not somebody. It's like I want to be on time. I want to do things right because you don't suffer fools. You get, you know, a little bit testy. And well, in this situation, it's like, how could that happen?
What happens with me is somebody says something like, we're going to do this. And then I stop and I go, what is going to happen now? How is this going to play out? And I start thinking about it and I start thinking about the person. And what might go wrong in this event. And then after I've profiled the person and profiled the event, I then look into what can happen in the profiling of this person, the profiling of the event. And I don't go, oh man, we're probably not going to have a birthday cake. I don't do that because it's not going to fit the person or the event. We're not going to forget the birthday cake. I have no, we're probably going to get the wrong birthday. No.
No,
that's not my concern. But my concern is the last event, we went out and bought a bunch of beer and didn't use it up. And I've been tripping over cases of it
still
at the other shop. But the event before the event.
Oh.
So now I think to myself, how do I unload all this free beer I have? And since Dylan works here, that's going to be a no-brainer because he's going to be dispatched to get the beverages and bring them to the house. And he can simply load up his car here. Mm-hmm. So then I work on who's the individual and what's the event. And that's when I go in and announce, and I don't do it once. I do it twice, which is do not buy any beer. I got a ton of beer. I'd like to get rid of the beer. So do it. And then I stop. So then I realize I don't think that's enough. And then I double back and I go, there's beer at the other shop as well. The bow shops are filled with beer. This
right.
stuff's free beer. That stuff's beer we paid for. Use all that, please. And then I go, that's probably enough, but might not be. So then later when Dylan tells me about the beer, I have to inquire where he got the beer. So that's how I work.
But
I'm a profiler.
Are you haunted by, I know Ray, inconsistencies. Lynette, I've been in that boat. Drew, is it just you're cursed by people that are more inconsistent than you?
No, I think there's a handful of your Nick Santoras and Kevin Henches and Jimmy Kimmels out there, and then there's sort of everybody else. And I don't mind that they're who they are. I don't like that they have as much pride about it as they do, but I understand that's the majority of the people. The reason I get to be me is because of everyone else.
Okay.
I've always say to people, I'm not that smart. It's everyone else.
No, I know
you know what I'm. You know what I'm saying, Max Patty. You're getting an idea of what goes on in this universe. I'm not exceptional. It's everyone else. You got to beat Ray. Anyone could beat Ray in the work department or the smarts department or the accumulate things department or the anything department. If Ray's your competition, you're going to win. Like if you're boxing a dead kangaroo, you're going to win. So that's it. And then go look abroad. Look around the world. You want to hear what's going on around the world? All you have to do is be smarter than that. And you could have a warehouse filled with exotic sports cars.
Really?
She's got to be better than you, bros. That's all. That's all. As the I think it's a very old joke, but it was Walter Payton. Oh, man. Now we got it. Oh, the 10-speed Camaro story. Yeah. Damn it.
Let's...
Matt Suey. Matt Suey was Walter Payton's fullback. He'd block for him. I think sort of the story was Matt Suey and like Walter Payton are camping or something, and a bear comes running at him, and like Walter Payton like starts running, and Matt Suey says, how you think you're going to outrun that bear? And Walter Payton says, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. Now apply that to your life. You don't have to. I can't outrun a bear. Can I be smarter than Ray? Yes, I can. Can I have a better work ethic than Ray? Of course. My dad or my mom, I'm not going to outrun a full-grown grizzly bear. I just have to outrun the drunken slow guy who's running with his pants around his ankles behind me. And I'm set.
Yeah.
All right.
I want you to leave enough time for the 10-speed
Camaro, yes. Yes. Married at First Sight. New episodes every Thursday, 9 o'clock, 8 central on Lifetime. New season follows Chicago singles who agree to get legally married to a stranger the moment they first meet. This sounds amazing. Teams of experts create three compatible couples, and they're based on scientific matchmaking. They don't meet until they walk down the aisle and they see each other for the first time at the altar. After 7 weeks together, they have to decide, do they remain married? Do they stay together? Or do they get divorced? You can catch full episodes on demand at MyLifetime.com. Or you can use the app. You can watch new episodes every Thursday at 9 o'clock, 8 central, on Lifetime. Married at First Sight.
Compelling, yeah.
Check it out. Mm. All right, so we're standing on the porch drinking a Corona, 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 Corona. And I just got done doing this race. Bruce and I like to talk racing and cars or whatever. And I said I was driving a new Corvette CR7R or something.
Sequential shift.
Whatever it is. And he said, what kind of shifting was it? And I said, it's sequential, which is not paddle shift in this case. It's a stick shift, but it just keeps going back and forward in order. It's the same way a motorcycle. Motorcycle, one up, five down, or whatever. Be
right.
Able to click it up for first gear, and then down, 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 down. And if you want to go back up, it's up, 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 up. But you can't skip gears.
Yeah.
So this car is weird. It had a, I think it was like first... trying to think. It was like first gear was backwards. Neutral was for, you know, first, second, third, third through fifth was backwards. Neutral was forward. And then it had a grip with a cable on it, like a bicycle handbrake for reverse. You pull that thing and lock reversing. I don't know. I don't know. That's how.
That's not F1.
No, but that's how the car was set up. And
monster car, though.
It was a monster car. It was 850 horsepower. And then Bruce said, did it have a 10-speed? And I said, 10-speed? It's insane. No car has, you know, there were 4 speeds for a million years, then we got up to 5, and then someone came out with 6, and maybe Porsche has a 7, but nobody has a 10-speed, and then I yelled at him. And maybe that was just through the haze of the Coronas, but I yelled,
you didn't drink
yelled at him. No car has a 10-speed, Bruce. That's a bicycle, not a 10-speed. And then Bruce sent me a link to an article talking about the new Chevy with the 10-speed.
Ford and Chevy share the transmission. Yeah.
I was just talking to Matt, the motorator, DeAndrea, driving a Ford F-150 back from San Diego with a 10-speed in it. And I thought, wow, that's diabolic. I said, you couldn't feel it shift. It was like always at the right rev peak and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, wow. So somebody is making a 10-speed and getting it out to Ford. And GM, and the thing that's insane about it is, you know, like Mercedes and whoever, like they're all getting like 7-8 speeds or something. But it's very unusual that America is on the vanguard of this technology.
Well, the DCT transmission is sort of fading away from that a little bit. I think BMW is my understanding.
What is that transmission?
The double clutch.
Oh, the double clutch.
Didn't pan out quite the way they they hoped it would. But
all right, what do you got in front of you there? Speaking of cars.
True Car. To feel comfortable when you're getting a fair price, you need context, Adam. With True Car, you'll see what other people in your market paid for the car you want. And I just want to mention, this is great for used cars as well as new cars. And
Oh, yeah.
Once you register, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory, so you can feel confident when you show up. True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. There have been over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, when you're ready to buy, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. So, the first thing I'm going to do, I want to look at a used C63S Mercedes. And I would.
Ooh, what year?
They started that in 2015 with the bi-turbo 4-liter instead of the 6.2-liter naturally aspirated.
Ooh,
remember
right.
I had that C63
yeah.
for a year.
So, go to True Car and find it.
True Car. Right, and used as well as new cars.
All right, man.
Some features not available in all states.
All right. So, no safe spaces. Me and Prager, check that out. Irvine coming up Thursday. That's Prager up on stage. Live shows. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff. Go. The bar crawl's sold out, but the show with Loxy's band and comedians and other bands playing over at Showbox in Seattle is not sold out, so there's tickets to that. So you can go to CorollaDrinks.com and check that out. Adam Carolla for everything you need. Bruce, the weekly infusion.
Weekly infusion with Dr. Drew. We're doing an interesting medical podcast. We just had a guy on there that's a guy that was studying serial killers. He turned out to have the same type of brain as James Fallon. So
interested.
Most
in
recent
that.
Episode. Very interesting.
So, till next time. Adam Carolla for Dr. Spaz saying, mahalo.